my renewed faith award for 2011 goes to the X-Men franchise. And the reason is because we all agree that Brett Ratner nearly killed X-Men with The Last Stand, correct?
And Wolverine.
Right, I was getting to that next. And then it got worse with Wolverine, except for Adam, who actually liked that film, which, by the way, Adam, I'm glad that somebody did like that film. Anybody likes a movie, that's fine. I could not stand that film. But I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I'm glad that it was worth your time. But First Class, which you kind of came back around on it faster than I did, thought it was going to be decent, and then I did maybe a week, 2 weeks before it came out. It was the surprise of the year for me in theaters because I had no idea that it was going to be the film that it was. In terms of money, it did really well. In terms of DVD sales, it's doing great. But Fassbender and company did an exceptional job in that film, with the exception of a couple of random characters that they probably didn't need in there. The story was really good, and we got to see a coin go through Kevin Bacon's head. Did that happen in any other films this year? I do not think so.
I hope not.
So I would say the X-Men franchise for me, and then the other one would be yours, sir.
I forgot what I told you before we started this.
Well, what is your answer now?
The Rock?
No.
What? He went from Megan the Tooth Fairy last year and...
Was that last year he made the Tooth Fairy?
Then Race to Witch Mountain. Was that last year? I thought it was last, like January 2010. Dude, he came out in the Fast Five this year, and he came out for two pay-per-views, and he's going to be WrestleMania this coming next 3 to 4 months.
I think his career is going back in the opposite direction, though, because of Journey 2.
Oh, come on. Journey 2 looks amazing.
So is that really your answer?
I don't know. It's a good comeback to me. I think it brings back for WWE, which I think has lost a lot of talent. I don't really keep up with WWE as much as I did 10 years ago, but still, I think that like would be a slight back to it.
Okay. Fair enough. The answer that you gave me was Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise is all right, but I think The Rock, to me, I just thought about it a little bit ago as I was playing a little bit of No Mercy on my N64, you know what I'm saying? I think it's a good comeback. It's bringing about a lot of interest back for me to wrestling, and then makes me pay attention to stuff he's got coming out, except for Journey 2.
But he's got people throwing berries off his pectoral muscles.
Well, he's in G.I. Joe 2 coming out.
God, I love that first movie, man.
Yeah, exactly. You can stop.
I know I just admitted that to the world, but not because of its G.I. Joe tendencies, but because of its that movie was entertaining as hell tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
You have nothing to say, do you?
Nope. But let's move on to the next award. Biggest surprise.
You go first.
I'm gonna go with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
In reference to what? Jingle All the Way 2?
His 13-year-old son, alleged? Ever spawned baby?
The whole maid mistress situation for the governor?
Pretty much. You can't tell me that wasn't a surprise?
That was a surprise, and again, that's like a real-world application, which makes mine sound ridiculous. My biggest surprise is the resurgence of Arrested Development coming back to Netflix and potentially having another season.
I'm just like totally leaving you high for dry.
I've got some like real serious stuff, but I kept this one in the pop culture realm. I never expected to hear the words season 4 of Arrested Development, and all of a sudden it looks like it could possibly happen. And Netflix is going to try and bring the show back. And you've seen tweets, and we talked about it on this show from Bateman and from Will Arnett and some of the other people associated with the show, Hurwitz and company. And it looks like it might actually happen, and that is a shock to my system, and it just makes me remember that all the people that are associated with Firefly are still around, guys. They are still out there waiting to be called to come back in.
I know some of them are hungry.
Are they?
I think so. Wouldn't you if you were Sean Mayer?
I was wondering what he's done recently.
Nothing.
He looks kind of like the guy who played Xander in Buffy. Not that that, like, gets him a paycheck unless he, like, gets mistaken for him at bad comic book conventions that take place in, like, hotel lobbies.
Like Dragon Con for me?
Not Dragon Con. That's not a bad one. Like the one that takes place at, like, the Greenville Ramada.
Hey, that was the jam a couple years ago when you went with me.
It was a jam for us to walk out like
nothing.
Loads of stuff, but
with our picture with three stormtroopers.
The one fat of which stormtroopers way overweight.
Aren't you a little fat to be a stormtrooper?
Like, he wasn't really a stormtrooper. He's like wearing a stormtrooper mask and like a white sweatshirt.
He was off duty.
Oh my god. All right, so Arrested Development and Arnold Schwarzenegger's illegitimate child. There are two.
That apparently looks like him now, which is disgusting if you think about it in that way. Next up, still too early to tell award.
My answer is the new 52. Not going to go into too much detail about it, but some people complain that they didn't do enough. They didn't erase enough. They didn't go back far enough. And then some people think that they've gone too far, and then some people like it. The only reason I put it as still too early to tell for me is because of what I've read. I've liked a lot of it, but I want to know how long it can go. I want to see. It's still too early to tell for me because I don't know in 3 years if this is still the way that they're going to be moving things.
Maybe it's a dream. It's all a dream. They'll go back to the old series soon.
They were able to maintain like 60% of the business that they did from the number ones that people got for collecting purposes and money purposes. 60% of the people kept on for the second and third issues, which is pretty good. Honestly, when you think a lot of people are just trying to cash in and have some collector's items. But some of the stuff's been good. The best new franchise by far to me is Aquaman. Geoff Johns pops over and kind of pulls Aquaman the same way he pulled Green Lantern with Rebirth. It's like all of a sudden Aquaman matters. And Aquaman, unlike Green Lantern, to me, Aquaman I have never cared about at all. But it's being written really well right now. So that's one of my favorite ones to read currently. But all the stuff's been good. Scott Snyder's stuff with Batman is awesome. Scott Snyder is becoming one of the best writers in comics. He also writes American Vampire, which I think won the Eisner Award for Best New Series this year, and deservedly so. I've only gotten to read a couple of issues, but I really like this. So I would go with the new 52. What do you think?
Can I use two things that are both sports related?
Well, you have two categories where you can say two things.
Come again?
You have two categories where you are allowed to pick two answers.
Fine. This one, Stuart Attell, one is going to be Chris Paul to the Clippers.
All right.
The second will be Tebow.
I knew that one was coming.
Well, I could have used that in the Biggest Shame one, too, but whatever. I'm not John Elway, so I won't speak for that. That was an awesome interview, by the way. I forgot who interviewed him, and it was I think it was like after the third Tebow game when he was 2-1, and they asked him, John Elway, they go, "So do you think your franchise is this much closer now to finding the quarterback of the future?" And right away he goes, no. That's the exact way he says it, because I've heard the interview so many times. He goes, no. And if you ask me, and if you ask anybody who's watched the past two games of the Patriots and the Bills debauchery, they would also go, no.
I too early to tell is the perfect answer for Tebow. I'm, as you know, Mr. Bronco, have been since I was 5 years old, and I really liked him, and I root for him every week, and I love to see him succeed, and I'm still not 100% sure that that's really a long-term solution. So that is a great answer. Chris Paul can be miraculous in L.A., but he has had injury problems, and if he goes down, they're going to have a few depth issues at the guard position. They still have Eric Bledsoe, and they have Chauncey Billups, who's moved to the two, and that is a perfect position for him at his age now. He's a great spot-up three-point shooter, can do a lot of smart things, plus he is a born leader who has won the NBA championship before. Blake Griffin looks amazing. DeAndre Jordan's a great-looking young kid, although he has serious free-throw shooting problems to the point that they were intentionally fouling him in the second quarter of his opening game against Golden State because he shoots under 50% from the line. But nice. If Chris Paul plays the way we know Chris Paul can play, West Forsyth product, by the way, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, the Clippers could be a three, you know, maybe a three seed, four seed maybe in the West in this truncated 66-game NBA season. So I like that. I think both those are pretty good. If you had to pick one of those, would it be Tebow?
No, because I'm pretty set on Tebow not succeeding. So I'm going to go with Chris Paul too easy. Too early to tell, because literally it's only been, what, three games? So that literally is who it was. Tebow, we've seen him in 8 games. And we've pretty much known what he's going to be from the get-go. But it's really not all his fault, though. Really, because his defense is playing well. But he doesn't have the greatest cast to throw to, first off.
He does, but I want to make sure that Skip Bayless doesn't get credit for ripping Eric Decker. Because Eric Decker is better than he gives him credit for. Maybe he's the greatest wide receiver, but he is a good player.
I'm not knocking down Eric Decker as being a good player now. I am knocking down the depth chart. If Eric Decker is your number one receiver, you got problems. I'm not knocking Eric Decker. I'm not trying to. I'm saying you need someone else to compliment him that's a worthy number one, number two spot, so Decker gets a little more, like, less double coverage. Am I wrong to say that?
No. No, okay.
It's kind of like Steve Smith, like, 2 years ago or a year ago before that. You know, he's not a bad wide receiver. He's one of the best. I would say one of the top 10 playing right now, even at his age. But when he's the only receiver worth a damn on your team and he gets double coverage, you don't really get to see a lot.
Well, Demaryius Thomas is awesome. You just got to stop dropping balls.
Pretty much.
I mean, he was great in college, and he's been hurt a lot over his first couple of years in the league. But
why the hell happened to Eddie Royal?
He's now just basically a punt returner. It just didn't end up working the second year. It worked for a year, and then it just hasn't. I really like that kid a lot. So, I like those two answers. All right, next category.
The new it thing.
Who answered first last time? Oh, I answered first, so you get to go first this time. The new it refers to what is the new thing that everybody is talking about? What are T-shirts being printed about right now? What's super important, whether it's a TV show or a philosophy or all vampire shows like it was, you know, 3-4 years ago or whatever, vampires popping up in movies with Twilight and True Blood or the zombie craze or stuff like that. So what would your answer be?
I would say, man, I actually kind of forgot about this and let it go until Entertainment Weekly brought it up again, but Charlie Sheen.
Wow.
That can go away. Like, he can just go away anytime. I remember
there's the biggest shame right there.
No, but that's not the biggest shame, because the biggest shame to me is more like a shocker.
How about Mr. Irrelevant?
No, we're not going to give him, like, a Miss Congeniality Award. We're not going to do that. We're not going to give him his own title. No. I think that, to me, is the thing that needs to go away. Okay, because, like, the whole zombie thing, that can go away. The Twilight thing, the vampire thing, that can go away. Vampire Diaries, that can all go away. Charlie Sheen can go all the way. He can drive the shitty, crazy bus that has all that shit in there over a cliff that slips on a banana like the one in damn Billy Madison for, like, you know, screaming out O'Doyle rules. I don't give a rat's ass. That can all go away.
And that's all I got to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
My new it is Game of Thrones.
Oh, see, I was going to use that for a letter category.
Which you still can. The whole Song of Ice and Fire trilogy of George R.R. Martin, which is my next obsession from a book perspective, the next thing I'm going to sit down and read. Game of Thrones popped onto the scene, and it has proven that high fantasy can work to a mass audience, because Game of Thrones burst on and did great ratings for HBO, and I sense next year is when that show is going to become the biggest thing on TV. That it's just going to be absurd, the level of coverage it gets. You're going to start seeing it in Hot Topic. Oh, wait, Hot Topic has gone from being kind of cool to buy old retro shirts to I'm a man, so I'm not sure I can even walk in there anymore. Am I right about that?
A little bit.
Like, what's up with the new, like, everything's all bright, and it's, like, white everywhere, and there's, like, a lot of thongs in that place.
Why would you be looking at that?
Well, you can see it from the door. I'm not back there, like, trying them on or anything like that, or hitting on the girls that are looking at them or anything. But
why not? Lazy.
But Game of Thrones is going to be huge. It was already huge. So that would be my answer, because a lot of high fantasy in the past has not worked to a mass audience. This proved that it can be done if the right people are associated with it. And Martin's books, from all I've heard, are going to be hard for me to put down, so I am looking forward to cracking open GOT in the next week.
Biggest missed opportunity.
This is the easiest category of all of them to me. It's Green Lantern.
Thank y'all! Damn it! I was going to say that.
Well, you still can. I mean, there's no, it's all right. We can agree on some of these. It's Green Lantern, and it ain't even close, folks.
They were saying that was going to be the new Star Wars. $330 million put into that movie. They made back what?
Like a third of it?
60?
Oh, I thought they made almost 100, but...
No, I don't think they even... Well, maybe worldwide, I think. Yeah, you're probably right, but ugh. Now, there's some people who like the movie. There's some people who think that's the best DC movie. Cool, I know someone who thinks that's the best DC movie out there. That's, you're entitled to your opinion.
It's however, just wrong.
However, this is not your podcast, so fuck you right now. Just saying, that's the biggest piece of dog shit I've ever seen in a long time. Has just injustice, and Geoff Johns should be ashamed for putting his name on this product, by the way.
He should have taken
Can I say that?
Off the credits, and I had nothing to do with this. I was not consulted.
Speaking of Aquaman, I think I'd rather see the Vincent Chase Aquaman than Green Lantern again. I'm just saying. I'd rather see the Jake Gyllenhaal Aquaman 2 from Entourage than that piece of shit.
You know how sad it is to walk through a DVD section and see Green Lantern and walk so far away from it so fast? Because I wanted and needed that movie to be good. We both really love that character. And it just was not happening. We've talked about it on other podcasts, so we won't go into too much detail, but... One, there was no reason for Hector Hammond to exist in that film, especially because of the way they writ him. Two, I don't know what the hell was going on with Parallax. And three, why was Ryan Gosling trying to be Edward Cullen from Twilight and just brooding the whole time? It made no sense to see Hal Jordan in that way. That film was just an abomination.
Ryan Reynolds, you mean?
Yeah, who did I say?
Gosling.
Oh, yeah, no, that would have... I don't even want to... Wow, that was a terrible mistake on my part, but... it's just hard to watch. Hal Jordan is what I was trying to say. I wasn't even trying to name the actor. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was just an abomination from start to finish. It was awful.
No, it was just sloppy. And the CG was just too much. It was just too much. There was nothing to me. Like, just it grasped me going, this, I don't know, just there was... Not, you know, it's like when you're watching Warrior, you kind of seeped into it, and you're kind of into the world that they're doing and they're living in. You're kind of living in it, and you're kind of being in the moment. Lantern the whole time, saying like, "This is so showboaty. It is so unbelievable. I can't relate to any of this. Two, I can't believe any of this. Like, I don't believe in Ryan Reynolds' character. I mean, aside from Blake Lively distracting me every once in a while. This was no. I don't watch it again. I don't think I ever will watch it again.
Yeah, I don't think I will either, and that's a shame. And I watched it in 3D, and that wasn't worth it either. Not worth it at all.
The 3D craze can go away anytime soon, by the way.
Yeah, that could be the new out. I still watch a couple of things in 3D, but it has to be the right thing. That was not the right thing at all. All right, so there's a missed opportunity. I think we both agree that it's Green Lantern.
All I was going to say, for if you're doing Green Lantern, I was going to go Entourage.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Too. I have yet to meet one person who was happy with Entourage this season.
I was fine with the finale just because it didn't make me want to cry, but... So much cry and just sheer agony of how bad it was, but it was just lazy as hell. And pretty much from the minute Sasha Gray arrived, that show was dead to me, and it never recovered. And then it started focusing on Turtles business, and oh god, it was such a nightmare. And we both loved that show for a long time.
I would say 4 is where it kind of jumped the shark. Or no, was the end of 4 or was the end of 5 where Scorsese made that appearance and kind of turned things around?
That could have been the end of the series for me. And I'd have been
That should have been the end.
And what happened? We've asked this before. I don't know if you ever asked it on the podcast. What the hell happened to Johnny Drama's bar in New York?
Yeah, seriously. That they bought out like their childhood bar, whatever.
And then I guess the way Kevin Dillon moved on to his next project, which lasted about as long as my sinus infection.
And who called it when I was like, that show will eventually be replaced by Rules of Engagement, jumping back in to be...
Joe.
Huh?
And soon, Rob, which premieres in 2 weeks, Rob Schneider's new show.
You know what's sad? Rob could actually be a decent show.
I keep looking at the trailers, and I'm going to watch Rob.
I'm thinking there's something wrong with me when I'm considering watching Rob Schneider's new CBS show, self-entitled Rob, over some of the things that's on TV right now. That's a pretty dark age in comedies these days.
I'm glad we agree, though, that we're both kind of like, wait a second, this doesn't look terrible. What the hell is wrong with me? This is the same guy who did me.
I saw it, and I was like, this... Pretty much. Oh, God, stop it.
And The Animal.
That wasn't a movie. That was a movie, but stuff. Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo.
Oh, Prime.
Oh, God. Most memorable news story of the year.
All right, you get to go first.
Do I get to go first?
Yeah, because I picked Leonard.
Man. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, the tsunami.
That's certainly one.
That definitely, that's the first thing initially comes to mind to me. And all that tragedy that followed with it. I don't want to stay too long on it. Definitely the tsunami / earthquake. You know what? Since I only get, I'm gonna use this character for just one answer, and unfortunately, I'm gonna go a little morbid on that one. I'm gonna just use that one on that one.
Use the tsunami.
So, yeah,
yeah, fair enough. And you can also add into that the emotion that centered around the World Cup with the Japanese women beating our American women mm-hmm. in a great final, but in a very emotional win that that country really needed at the time because of what they went through. And I think it was amazing to see the resolve of the Japanese people who didn't turn inwardly on each other. There weren't riots and looting. People stood in line casually to receive whatever was available to them. They all pitched in. They all helped each other. It was a wonderful example of, to me at least, what humanity should strive to be. The Japanese showed a lot of class in a horrible situation. So that would be yours. The AP stories of the year, all of them were big. Bin Laden's death was obviously huge.
Right.
The Arab Spring, which I think is going to turn out to be one of the biggest disasters this country has ever been on the wrong side of, with what happened with Mubarak in Egypt. Later what happened. Gaddafi dying is a separate story in itself, but all that kind of stuff. Stuff like the Occupy Wall Street and the rise of the protester all across Middle East and things like that are all big to me. The economy in America is big, but the one story that holds the title for me right now, just because of it, it was so captivating and so deplorable at the same time, is Penn State. So that gets it for me because I live in America. If I lived in another country, it wouldn't be that. But I had to sit here and live through that taking place from a media perspective and watch all that go down. And what I refuse to say is Casey Anthony. Because that was a circus unlike anything I've ever seen. The royal wedding, I understand a lot of people care about that and how important that is to a lot of people in Europe, not to me. So I would go with Penn State for the reasons that we already discussed when you mentioned Sandusky for Biggest Shame.
Also, another good second runner-up, and actually it was one that broke on ZTR a couple weeks ago, Steve Jobs' death.
That, yeah.
When Adam broke it, he's like, hey guys, Steve Jobs, and we were like, what?
And we did a bad job there. We should have realized that we never would have been recording a, quote, podcast had it not been for Steve Jobs.
Right.
We didn't mention how important he was to what we were doing at the time. We were in the midst of recording something.
It caught me off guard because I was like, this can't be real.
Oh, yeah. When he first said it, I'm like, what? And then sure enough.
You know, it's like when Sinbad died. I was like, what?
Sinbad's alive.
I know. I'm saying when people said that because of Wikipedia.
His career died when Houseguest came out.
No, his career resurrected. You know what? He's my comeback of the year.
His stand-up's awesome. I love his stand-up.
His stand-up last year was really good.
I didn't get to see his newest one.
Oh, God. What is it called?
I'm Sinbad?
No, it's like, what you crying about? Something like that. It's really, really good. It came out on Comedy Central last year. You can download it, too, if I'm not mistaken. It's worth your time. It's a classic Sinbad. It's updated Sinbad. It's so good. Next up, best moment in sports.
Mine would be Game 6 of the World Series. A lot of cool stuff happened in sports this year, as it always does. I could name a bunch, but if I could only name one. The whole situation with hometown boy David Freese, who grew up wanting to be a St. Louis Cardinal, hitting that home run, sending the series to a seventh game in which the Cardinals were able to win, which also turned out to be Albert Pujols' last stand in a Cardinal uniform. It was a tie for me kind of between that and the wild card situation the day that the pennants were decided, where my beloved Atlanta Braves got knocked out and the Red Sox got knocked out all within like an hour span with all these crazy happenings that went on. But that Game 6 of the World Series was just a great night of athleticism, and it reminded people how great good baseball can be down the stretch. So that would be my answer.
I also am going to go with Game 6. Game 6 of the NBA Finals when King James was denounced with Prince James being denied another year of being a champion. No, I'm kidding, but that is pretty funny. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers win the Super Bowl for me.
Yeah, that was also up there, so yeah, I'm not surprised.
Aaron Rodgers is nothing but grade A class to me, the way he's handled himself from the minute he got drafted to everything going on in the past 5 years of his career, really more like three, but everything the way he's handled it, the pressure he's had to deal with, his demeanor, how he runs his team, how he runs an offense, it is incredible. And the fact that he's still, after winning a title, after going 13-0, is still one of the most humble people on the biggest platform stage in sports is beyond belief, because he just, his, you know, there's arrogance, and there's a lot of nowadays with people in society who, that are what's owed to me kind of mentality, i.e. Brett Favre, and just a lot of people who, like, in daily jobs, are like, I bust my ass, I should get this, I should get this. He's just like, I love to play. I'm coming out here, I play for one of the best franchises, period. And with that being said, the Packers have been officially voted recently as America's team now. No longer the Cowboys, because the Cowboys are apparently the most America's hated team in football. The Packers now, title town, and they are America's team. And I give much props to it. That team, the way they run is remarkable. It really is. So
I'd love to disagree and have a fun debate on that, but I can't. I think that's a great answer also. It was certainly on my short list also. There was a lot of great things that happened in sports this year.
Drew Brees this past Monday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that and Brees is another one of those classy, really confident, good guys, just like Aaron Rodgers. Looks like to me that the NFL is in really good hands with some of its younger ambassadors, particularly at the most important position in all of sports, in the quarterback. All
right. Just kidding.
Now we get some of the biggies.
Biggest video game. I'm sorry, best video game, not biggest. You said biggest, got through me off.
Skyrim?
No, Skyrim's up there. It really is. Uncharted 3. Batman, Arkham City. What came out earlier this year?
See, that's the problem. Is you forget about a lot of the stuff that came out earlier in the calendar year.
Knights of the Republic finally coming out.
The Old Republic, not Knights of.
The new Zelda game.
Skyward Sword. So what's your answer now that you've named 50?
For me, it's going to be Batman. The minute Batman came out, I really wanted to dedicate a lot of my vacation time towards it, and I accomplished that within a matter of days. I'm still playing it a little bit here and there. I actually bought the skins the other day over Xbox Live, and I'm enjoying playing with those. Right now I'm playing as the 1970s Batman. My thrill for old chubby Batman has been faded a little bit. I still think they can make some really cool costumes, though, after you've done falling over your chair there. Whatever you're doing.
What?
I said after you're done falling over in your chair or whatever you were doing.
No, I thought I knocked a beverage over and I was... Never mind, I'm back.
And we're back.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely more skins they can do that I want to see. I want to see the Batman of Azrael.
the Zur and all?
The hamburger red, purple, Batman.
What about shirtless, like shirts and skins Batman?
I want to see Matches Malone Batman.
What about George Clooney Batman?
I want to see Batman Tim, what's his name? Planet of the Apes.
Roth?
No, not Tim Roth. The director. Tim Burton. Tim Burton's Batman. I want to see...
You know, they just released a new skin that's free for everybody that was a thank you for all the sales and all the support of the game.
When did that come out?
Last week? I picked it up yesterday.
What is that?
It's a Batman Inc.
Nah.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. Is it still available?
Yeah, it was not a limited thing. Yeah, you can get it.
All right.
It's not bad looking. It's pretty cool.
I want to get, like, Batwing, that outfit.
Batman Sinestro Corps.
It's okay. I like it a lot. I think there's other stuff you can do. You can definitely do, let's see, the Submarine Batman from the old toy series.
It's about, like, no? Batman, like the one that was wearing, like, the glass suit.
The long Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
Like the super-ass long cape. That'd be cool. I like to see Batman, the one from Nightfall and Night Quest, when Azrael, the original Azrael, took over when Batman was broken by Bane, like the super like sharp, edgy, like razor bladed suit.
Right.
I want to see that one. I'm trying to think of other Batman costumes. They want to see a Grey Ghost costume. We could really go on and on.
Yeah, we really could.
I want to see Owlman costume.
I want to see Batmite.
Shut up. You asshole. You don't want to see that? You want to see Owlman voice over by James Woods?
As long as it's voiced by James Woods, yes.
Oh, God.
All right, so there's that, and I would come up with some other stuff and some of the
Adam
other
West
games.
Costume Batman? You don't want to see the Adam West costume?
Oh, absolutely.
The Adam West?
I want you imagine that? As long as it's the shark repellent bat spray.
Or the bat shield, where you like unfold it one little piece at a time so you can run across a hallway? Oh, man. Did you have like a Burt Ward Robin costume? Dude, that would be awesome. Who? Damn. Oh, no. The Damien Robert? Dude, he'd be like pint size. He'd be like Yoda in Soul Calibur 4.
He could roll around with Batmite.
Shut up. Stop with the Batmite. Now, for me, it is best video game is going to go to that one. Your call?
Batman would be my answer. But. So I'm trying to think of some other answers just to keep the flow going. Batman would be my answer. I haven't played it all yet, and I'm hopefully going to get that taken care of this week, but... I would say the other two that jump out to me are Skyrim and Uncharted. Skyrim, obviously, I'm nowhere near finished with, but it's a brilliant game, a lot of fun. Bethesda did a really nice job with it. They actually made a main story that's actually fairly interesting for once, which is really good. Graphically, it's not the prettiest thing I've ever seen, and at times it really shows age, which is a little odd, but still really liked it. Uncharted, the only knock against Uncharted was that it wasn't as mind-blowing as the second one because they'd already done so much. And apparently a lot of the people that were associated with the innovations in 2 had gone on to do The Last of Us, which they premiered the trailer of at the Video Game Awards a couple of weeks ago for Naughty Dog. But there's some great set pieces in Uncharted, including when he's walking through the desert, like desolate through the desert. It's a graphical tour de force. And it's just an amazing piece of time. And voice acting and story-wise, I've always loved Uncharted, with a couple of minor exceptions with some choices they make towards the end. So Batman is my answer, but I would say Skyrim and Uncharted would be two nice backups.
To back you up, I actually was really disappointed with Skyrim's graphical performance in the very beginning. Like when you're in that wagon,
yeah,
and you're the prisoner or whatever talking to do. I was just like, really? This looks just like Oblivion.
Seemed to me they tried to make Skyrim so big that they didn't have all the resources because they had spread themselves so deep that they weren't able to focus in on said. Some of the animations. You damn right she did.
Sorry.
So yeah, Arkham's the answer, but if I had to come up with something else, I would go with Uncharted and Skyrim. But I'm forgetting about some stuff earlier in the year that was good. Portal 2 was obviously really good. Mortal Kombat was awesome. And then sports-wise, NHL 12 is great. NBA 2K12 is one of the great sports games I've ever played. And NCAA, had it not been for some horrible franchise-breaking glitches, was a really great football game. It's one of the best I've ever played.
I'm actually getting back into the Madden franchise. The Madden franchise is actually really surprisingly deeper than I thought it was going to be. Because the franchise, like, you actually need to kind of play preseason for once. The longest time I ever remember any Madden, this is the time where you actually have to play preseason because you actually make cuts each week on your team. And depending on how well they perform during preseason, like, each player can develop either poorly or badly or better or whatever. And then during the season, scouting is so important. You know what's really surprising to me? What did we do? Have we done... We already did Biggest Comeback, right? Or what was it, Renewed Faith?
Yeah.
Man, we totally somehow forgot about the fucking Muppets.
Oh, yeah. Good grief. We both, yeah, we did.
Like, we both suck on that one. So can we do some justice, go back to that? The fucking Muppets movie is amazing.
Sure is.
Fucking Jason Segel, you, sir, and your schlong on TV/movie screen time on Forgetting Sarah Marshall, you're my hero. You did a wonderful job. Thank you for doing that, so please bring out some more Muppet movies.
And I'm just more in love with Amy Adams after that movie. She was awesome in it. And Brett, my boy Brett, handling business for Flight of the Conchords, helping to write the music for it. It showed through, and it's just another reason why everybody should go out of their way to own Flight of the Conchords for its brilliant two seasons that would have been a lot longer had they just not decided they didn't want the task of having to write that kind of song material again, and they decided to move on. But Muppets is, yeah, that's a perfect example because it's been such a long time since the Muppets were even relevant.
Oh,
and
at all?
The Muppets were on Saturday Night Live, sitting on a piano bench, singing and joking with Jason Segel when he hosted about a month ago.
Oh, and also, I would say as far as that same subject as renewed faith, and we're talking about franchises, the fucking Planet of the Apes franchise.
That is another huge oversight because you and I could not have cared less.
Oh, God, going into it, I think it was like, what was it, the week of? You changed my mind when you went to go see it on the last spur of the moment. And then when you came into town, we let Adam watch it, and we all were just gushing over like how well that movie was done, just the storytelling. And then just the plot and circus is like just computer-generated performance is amazing.
Yeah.
John sure Lithgow, supporting character. Just the whole thing is like you're kind of engulfed and you're like you want to keep watching. You like especially at the very end when they give you that little teaser, what the hell is going on now? It's amazing how well they turned that whole shit around for me.
And I can't wait for the sequel.
We just did all that recap. Next up, best performance by an actress.
All right, so we're gonna split this and do one TV and one film because it would just be too difficult to do it otherwise. First last time? I guess you were because you said Arkham. So, best actress performance, this is probably going to come as no surprise. And I know I'm overlooking some really great stuff when I say this, and I'm trying not to, but it's just so much content. I didn't have that much time to pull my answer together, but I'm going to go with Rooney Mara and the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo because I thought she did a very good job of portraying the inner workings of Lisbeth Salander in a very, very dark and disturbing film treatment by David Fincher of Stieg Larsson's novel. I think that Mara will likely be nominated for an Academy Award. If she's not, she should be. She's already been nominated for a Golden Globe. I thought it was just a fantastic, fantastic performance that I think everybody should see. Whether or not they read the books or not, everybody should go watch that film first. But Rooney Mara is the star. It's her picture. And just like Noomi Rapace did in the Swedish film, she took it over and made it hers, and she's going to become a major, major, major star because of this performance. So that gets it for me. And then you name your film one, and then you get to go first on TV, on your TV actress.
So I'm naming my...
You're naming two in a row.
Two in a row, so I'm naming both actresses?
You're going to name your favorite film actress of the year performance and your favorite TV performance, and then I'll do that one after you.
As far as movie goes, I'm gonna give a little shout out, and because I don't really have a lot on my mind, I'm gonna give a little props to Melissa McCarthy because I've watched Melissa McCarthy on TV since Gilmore Girls, which she's super sweet, really quiet on screen, doesn't really have like a huge voice, but her in Bridesmaids was breakout to me. Like that was just nonstop out loud.
You're talking about Mike and Molly.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. That is a very good choice. I like that.
Mike Molly, but then like in Bridesmaids, she's really, really talented. I'm glad that she finally got to show what she can really, truly do on screen. So she's kind of both movie and film, but I'm going to give her credit for more like her film that I've seen this year. As far as TV goes, I'm going to just kind of go with off the top of my head. I really think Beth Bears is really good and Kat Dennings. So that's kind of a tie because they're together.
Two
Broke Girls, yeah. Because they both play off each other really well. More for Kat Dennings because I've always liked Kat Dennings, but I enjoy that show a lot. And I was really kind of skeptical on that show being surviving as much as it is. But it's taken off for me, and I think they've gone off to a really good start, and I hope they go on for another couple years.
That show is going to go on. The last episode that they ran was the highest rated that they've had. So the ratings are going in the right direction, which is rare. And that show deserves it. That show is really good. You and I both really love it. And I like those two choices. For me, I'll go dramatically. And I really like both Katie Sagal and Maggie Siff this year on Sons of Anarchy. both of them. So I'm going to let them cancel each other out, and I'm going to go with Connie Britton finishing up in Friday Night Lights, not American Horror Story, but finishing up Friday Night Lights' fifth season. Friday Night Lights, the best show you've probably never seen. Not you, but a lot of the people that are listening to this that should definitely go out of their way to see it. Connie Britton's performance in that show as Mrs. Taylor is just unbelievable. And it was good again this year. Good enough that, you know, again, she's nominated for an Emmy. It's just a great, great, great performance by her. So I'll go with her. So you kind of went with two comedy actors. I went with two dramas. So that was interesting. So we got a little bit of difference there. So then the next category likely would be...